Be doing is looking into a study on relationships and fellowship. That's what we're doing. We are taking the entire book of 1 John to settle, hopefully, in anybody's mind, do I have a relationship or do I have a fellowship with the Lord? All of us, most of us, I would say, automatically say, yes, I do. I know that I have a relationship with the Lord. Well, how do you know? If you asked somebody, if you went up to them and said, how do you know you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? A lot of times you're going to get some heartfelt reasoning, which I'm not saying that's wrong. The Lord has done so many things in my life. There's so many circumstances I can give you that He's walked me through, that He's, and from the time of saving my soul, I could talk to you about my conversion process, what I was like before, what I was like now. But somewhere, as far as what we have to do with Christians, we have to teach each other how we know those things to be true, right? It has to go back to the Word of God. I don't know if you would have asked me this question, if I would have answered this way. Hopefully I would. But if anybody ever comes to you and says, how do you know you have a relationship with the Lord? You should, after this study, be able to say, well, let's go to 1 John. Because let's not look at my knowledge. Let's not look at my example. Let's look into the Word of God that teaches me how to have a relationship with 1 John. You see that? It carries a lot more weight when you could say, because 1 John teaches me that if I do these things, then I'm in relationship with the Lord. You see the difference in that? There's a big difference here. It would be some of us in some of our own relationships at times, we would like to pull out and say, hey, is that door cracked right there? Can you go close that? Thank you, buddy. Some of us would like to pull out the relationship rules, right? I did this to him a couple weeks ago. I don't know what's going on, but maybe it's me. Anyhow, when the relationship's not functioning correctly, right, we want to go to a rule book sometime and say, this is not right. We usually create the rule book, but we say, this is not right. This is not healthy for this relationship, correct? Well, Scripture in 1 John has given us that type of tool, those types of tests. And thankfully, He's given us some very clear and very noticeable ones. So that's what we've been doing, guys. And we've learned that if someone says that they love the Lord, but they're walking in darkness, right? If their life is just characteristics, I'm not talking about somebody who has a sin here that has sin in their life, because He tells us, look, if you say you're not a sinner, you're a liar. So we're not talking about not sinning, but if somebody lives in darkness, they're not living in the light, and nor should they ever expect that they have been redeemed from darkness unto light, right? You haven't been redeemed from something if you're living back in the darkness, right? Then what have you been saved from, right? It's just an easy test. If we are confessing our sins, guys, if we live our Christian life and we're not in confession of sins, there's a problem there. We should be continually confessing our sins. He goes on, last week we talked about that someone who is in fellowship with the Lord walks and keeps His commandments. We talked about what it means to keep His commandments, right? So these things start to just create in the mindset of what a believer looks like, right? What is a believer? What makes up a believer? I mean, sometimes I think at churches what we think a believer is just someone who's always really happy and just everything is going great, right? And they attend all the things that's going on in church, right? Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not always the test at all. Sometimes that's a fault. There's some false things going on there. Sometimes that's a pharisaical type of a life, as we saw that the Pharisees tried to make themselves look so good by washing the outside of the cup, but the inside, something was wrong. So Jesus doesn't want us to live without knowing. So this is what's so good about our God, is that He wants us to know. Okay? All right, so here's what we're going to do, guys. Today is a test of love. This is what we're going to do. We're going to look into love as a test on our life, whether we are in fellowship with God or not. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, and let's pick up in verse 3. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. If He says He abides in Him, ought Himself also to walk just as He walked. We covered that last week. The ability to walk as Christ. That's going to be really significant to our message today. Verse 7 says this, Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you, because this thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Thankfully, we have a great testimony in Jesus Christ of what this looks like. Thankfully, we're going to take some time this morning to lay a foundation, to see what the example of this is in Christ, and then look into our own life. But guys, if you will just follow with us from the whole time we're going to 1 John, that you understand we are not looking at what will make somebody. We're not trying to develop just characteristics in people, right? We're not trying to take people and make them better people. We are saying we are looking for people that have gone from death unto life, right? We are looking from somebody who is an old creature and now has new life in Christ. It looks totally different. We are talking about a regeneration process here. That sometimes, honestly, we would love to try to make somebody converted when they're just not. They're just not. You can't force that issue, can you? Well, 1 John wants us to understand what is produced in them. And not only some of the times. 100% of the times, this is the test that a believer will pass. Every time, guys. I didn't say in every circumstance, right? But every time, we're going to see characteristics that are found to be involved in a Christian's life. Something that you should expect as you relate to a Christian. This is what should be found. And if it's not, then something's wrong. And something's not lining up. So let's just start back, because we're going to start working through basically a foundation of what this makes to be true. First of all, we said, right here it says, verse 6, He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. When we're going to talk about what it means to love people and to love the brethren, the reason, the foundation for it is because Jesus Christ himself is, first of all, loving the brethren, right? Nobody ever questions that. Nobody, as far as a believer, would never question, do you think that Jesus Christ loves the church? That's a settled answer, isn't it? There's no debate here, right? And there's no, well, he loved us some of the times, but he really got frustrated with us, right? Jesus loved us, but he sure got tired of the disciples always doubting and not knowing what's going on. So he lived out of love, but he was frustrated a lot of the times, right? We don't hear that. I've never heard that in the Christian circle. I don't know if you have. That'd be pretty heretical, but I've never heard someone speak in those terms. When we look into Jesus Christ, we see Him all the way through His life, all the way up until His death, and even afterwards. There was an act of love for not only Him and the Father's glory, but for us. And let's kind of set it in that context first. Jesus had a love for the Father's glory that was first, right? And in Himself. He wants the Lord to be glorified. out of that glorifying love relationship unto Himself and to the Father, because of that, because God's glory is shown in regenerating souls and saving people and forgiving sin, He loves them for that reason, right? It really, when you look at the love that comes down, it's not that He looks down, and we've said this many times, guys, and I hate it. Look, I hate to put you in this scenario, but none of you are lovable. You're not lovable enough for God to say, you know what, that person came out a little better looking and a little better, and they got some better characteristics. I really like this one. I really love this one. Listen, we don't have those qualities. Jesus didn't come down to us and look at us for that reason and then decide to love us. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. So what is the foundation of love? The glory between the Father, right? It is being that solid on that glory that then causes the love, the next action, and whatever it takes is there. Have you ever been around, let's say, maybe somebody has a certain passion about something that maybe you don't share with it, but they're so passionate about it that you're gonna see, and you maybe would sacrifice for their passion, right? Thankfully, my wife and I like to do some of the same things, but I can see in some scenarios where you say, "Look, I'm going to do this for them because it makes them happy," right? That you, it's not like by your first choice, but you find yourself doing things out of that love relationship. And that's really not trying to give you an illustration that was much lower than the Lord's, but it is the fact that love motivates us. It is actions that come out of love. And so, again, if we don't start with the glory of God, then we're on really shaky a foundation, because then it just becomes us first, right? That's not it. And Jesus doesn't ever tell us that was it. It was between Him and the Father. And so once that was settled, though, and because of that, as Christ looked down unto us, He loved us, guys. He loved us in spite of every single mistake we are making, right? We never find ourselves as believers getting outside of the love and the forgiveness of God as believers. And so that relationship is so solid, more solid than any relationship you have on this earth. There's nothing that is as solid as this. Every relationship here on this earth, in all honesty, can be broken up, can be damaged by sin, but this relationship will never be that way when we are solid in Him. And so, as He looks unto us, as He loves the Father and He loves us, we're going to see that the issue is, are we going to walk as He walked? Are we going to walk as Jesus Christ walked? Is it guaranteed? Is it as sure as anything else you know that a believer will love the brethren? He said, I don't know. I met a lot of them. I don't know. All I want you to know is hopefully through today, that you'll see that it is. 100% of the time. It's going to happen. It's not forced. It is a relationship. And so we're going to see why that is. So let's just start to break down some of the things about why the test of love is such a vital test for us. Why? What's the foundation of it? Well, turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Let me ask a question. If one of the tests is that we keep His commandments and walk as He walked, right? If that's one of the tests, if He says, listen, a believer will obey His commandments and will be known for following after His commandments, which ones? How many? All of them, right? We're thinking all of them, right? We're thinking that if I'm going to be walking as he walked following his commandments. What do you think of? The law of God. What is the law of God? Well, he sums it up for us in the New Testament. So again, just look at Mark chapter 12, and let's just start in verse 28. Then one of the scribes came to him, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Hey, if I'm supposed to be following the commandments, what is it? Jesus answers them, the first of all the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, you realize that wraps up the first part of the Ten Commandments, right? To have no other gods before me. Why? Why to have no other gods? Well, he's a jealous God. Well, that's part of it. What shows that you're keeping that, right? That you actually love the Lord our God, right? It is a love relationship with Him. Not it says always do this and do that. It is I love the Lord more than I love the other gods. If you love other gods more than Him, right? That's what happens. You start loving another God. You're not keeping the commandments. So he starts out with just very clearly just saying that it's out of loving the Lord that we're keeping the first section of the commandments. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. Why is that a summation of the second part? Why is that a summation? Well, let me ask you something. If you steal something from somebody, do you love them? No. Right? If you're going to come steal from me, that doesn't mean you love me, right? If you're going to go and have an adulterous relationship with somebody else, are you loving them in that sense? Well, maybe them, you would say, but not the spouse, right? Love your neighbor as yourself takes care of so many of the laws of God, right? It's not like we're trying to dumb this thing down, but love in the right respects gives us the ability to keep the law out of the right heart and the right attitude. Now, let me ask you this, though. Who can keep the law perfectly? Anybody? Right? You always say this, love God, love people. Well, that's the law. I can't do those things perfectly, can I? I cannot do those things. I would love to be able to perfectly always obey the law. And it's in my heart. I would like to be able to do that, but I cannot. Right? I cannot do that. However, the characteristics of our life is going to be that we are seen to be constantly seeking after those things. That I am in process of loving God. God gives me pleasure. I love Him for His attributes. I love Him for what He's not only what He does, but who He is. And it has also motivated me out of my love for Him and His glory that I will love the brethren. They follow. One follows directly after the other one. So the question kind of becomes, well, why? Why do I do those things? How is it that I would do those things? Because it seems in some ways like that would be a little bit impossible. Well, the reason that we can, the reason that we do, is because Christ Himself first did that. Because Christ is seen to be living through us instead of us trying to conform ourselves unto Him. So it is Christ living through us. Turn me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, I want to read this to you. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and glorify Him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little longer. You shall seek me, as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have a love for one another. If you have love for one another. Why? The foundation is, guys, is because if we are having a relationship with our heavenly, with the Lord, automatically we will have relationships with other believers. We will have those relationships because He also speaks about the Spirit that has given us the work of the Spirit and the what is the first one? Galatians chapter 5. I think actually the very first one is love. Love, joy, peace, right? There you go. One of the first ones is love. It's a work. It's a work of the Spirit. You know why it's a work of the Spirit? Because without the Spirit, we wouldn't be showing that, right? We wouldn't be showing that if it wasn't a work of the Spirit. And so many times we've taken things of this world and just try to make them just Christian. In other words, well, a nice person is obviously a moral person, right? Or a person that seems to love their family is obviously somebody that knows how to love, that obviously would love the brethren and obviously be a child of God because they're a loving type of person. They're very nice, right? That's not the case. There is a difference seen when people love the brethren because it is a work of the Spirit of God in them. You say, well, what does that look like? What does that look like? What is the difference here? Is there really a difference? Do we really have enough test in 1 John of what does it mean to love the brethren? Or in this spot, it just means not, it says don't hate your brother, right? What is the real test here, right? Is this that I'm cordial to them? Where is the test really lie? Well, obviously, let's just look at a few parts of it. Obviously, if someone is in hatred towards their brethren, automatically there's the flag, right? If you come, this is, guys, we're going to walk through this part because it's pretty easy. If someone in the context of this church starts talking about hatred towards somebody else in this church, there's an issue, right? Why is that? Well, because kumbaya, we love everybody, right? You don't mess up the, this is the club. This is the country club where we love everybody and everyone's, can't everybody just be nice to one another? I mean, you're going to really hurt that, right? Why is that so bad? It's bad because Jesus Christ loves that brethren. That's what makes it bad. That's what makes it so disrupting. I don't think we struggle with hatred. Because I think we live in a society that hate now, right? Hate's everywhere. And anybody that's in hate, and we got hate crimes, right? I'm used to two boys out on the field, and I'm not saying this is a wrong thing. Two boys growing up would have to settle things with, they'd go to throwing blows at one another and they'd come out and hopefully be friends and they're done. But that was just something that happened, right? Now it's a different classification. There are hate crimes going on. Some of those things really are. I'm not trying to downplay those things. And I'm not saying that's not something that shouldn't be dealt with. I'm not downplaying that. But what I'm saying is we live in a society where pretty much everybody is afforded to be nice to each other, aren't they? I mean, come on. And one of the reasons that our society is pushed that way is because we're a self-consuming society, we're not. We are selfish people, so we want to be treated what? Nice. Right? If I go out to eat, I expect that my waitress or waiter is going to be nice to me. If they're not, I'm going to be upset, right? If I go to the store and I want to purchase something and somebody kind of blows us off and just treats us a certain way, that kind of goes against me because I'm self-seeking in a sense. And I'm self-serving. And most things in our society works around that. So if you're going to sell something, you've got to be nice to people, right? I mean, they tell you, from the time you walk in, it doesn't matter what store, you know what they're telling you? You got to greet them. You have to greet them. When they come in and when they leave, you know why? Because they want to be treated that way. They want to feel like you're being nice to them. Because if someone feels comfortable, they're going to spend money. That's the motive. I'm not going to get very far off on this. We don't understand that most of the time when we think about that we don't hate the brethren, we look at it in the same sense of, well, we're not antagonistic against the brethren. or we're not going around, those would be the obvious spot. What I'm going to do, hopefully, this morning is talk to you about what it really can at times mean to hate the brethren in a different way than most people maybe would paint that picture. What does it mean? What does hate look like in a relationship? And by a byproduct, we can see what love looks like. So in a second, so in your mind, work through relationships. Let me ask you something. Let me just kind of lead you down a couple of questions here so you can start to see maybe what I'm trying to communicate with you this morning. If someone says they love you, let's say they're family, let's just go to maybe a friend. Let's just say a friend. Say they love you, but they never have time for you, right? I mean, never. You keep trying, I love you, love to spend some time with you. And I'm not talking about the healthy kind. You know, you have people that, yeah, your life is busy, but let's say somebody never takes the time to spend with you. And let's say that even comes up when times of need, right? Now, that doesn't right off the bat look like they hate you, right? You wouldn't say, well, they hate me. Like, well, they're just busy in their life, right? If someone is neglecting and does not love you enough to invest in you and around you, right? Does that affect your relationship? Wholeheartedly, it does, doesn't it? There is a part of that that says, I don't love you to this level, right? You can look around, you can see where people do not love you to a certain level. Why is it? I'm trying to lead up to this. Why is it that when we talk about loving the brethren, that we don't realize that a love and hate relationship at times can be related to how much we actually want to spend time with the brethren? How much do we gravitate towards relating with them, right? Well, that's kind of hard because, again, we live in busy times, right? No, it's not. It's not hard. Because if you're around somebody you really love, what do you find yourself doing? I can't leave. Hey, look, I love the mountains. We love the mountains so much, and we had one rainy day. We swapped off for another day. Said, you know, we're going to get in really late. I love sleeping. Let me tell you something. I don't like to get little sleep. I don't like to drive at nighttime really late. I'm usually the one sleeping. I had to drive home last night. I don't like doing that. But I love the mountains. So I said, I'm staying. We'll stay. The last time we went and saw Joshua Dean, who was in church with here last Sunday, I harassed him pretty hard because when we left his house, it was 7 o'clock and he was wanting to leave here at 2 or 3. I'm like, dude, it ain't even 7. You must not love me as much as I loved you because we stayed with your house till 7 o'clock. Then we came home. It's a test of love, wasn't it? I use that comical, and if you listen to the sermon, he knows I love him. But isn't that a test? Do you have to even question those things, right? You don't have to figure that out. Love isn't such an automatic response at times. And it's intended to be that way. So you tell me this. How does someone say that they love the Lord and they walk as the Lord, but they're not in any true fellowship in a church? Now, obviously, I'm not talking to you guys, right? But I'm telling you, we live in a time right now of where I have heard over and over quite a few different Christians come out and be very, very strong about their Christian faith. But then you ask them what fellowship they're in. It's not there. And sometimes it's really sad. It's because something's happened, right? Oh, man, that church damaged them. I get that. But let it be known that the Word of God says that do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together because, not because it's just a rule, it's but because the child of God will be growing and be moving towards loving the brethren that way because Christ loves the brethren. So he won't come, right? So there's no Christian that can stand before us and say, I really love the Lord, but every time I go to church, I can never find the right church. Well, you know what the Lord, what does the Lord think from heaven? Does He ever look down and say, I finally got the right church? I finally have the right church. I finally have the church that doesn't sin and treats everybody the perfect way. I'm really going to pour out my love on this church right here, right? Does Jesus Christ Himself ever afforded that? Answer the question, right? No. Not in our church. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. It's okay. I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. And if it was based upon my perfection, Jesus Christ at some point would say, look, I'm done trying to have a relationship with you, man. You keep messing up. You hurt my feelings again. Right? I died for those sins. Did you forget I died for those sins? Those are pretty serious to me. And you just walked all over them like it was no big deal. I'm done with you. Does Christ say those words to His church? Does Christ ever? No, He does not, right? So why do Christians say that? I'm done with the church. Why are they not growing in that area? I'll tell you why. Because they're not believers. It's just hands down. Listen, I'm not here to put somebody into hell or to try to guess where somebody's going, but I'm just telling you something. The evidence in 1 John that if somebody does not want to be in fellowship with the brethren, the Scripture says that if they're not loving the brethren, they're liars. It's a form of hatred. It's actually a form of hatred to remove yourself from that relationship. I love something else more. In 1 John we have tests. It's either a love-hate relationship. He's not, hey, we're kind of getting in the middle somewhere. Because again, perfection can't be it. If perfection was it, then we could stack those things up, couldn't we? I'm either really good or I'm really bad sometimes. Perfection is not it. It is where is your heart. So you either love the one, love, and it's either love the one and hate the other. So I definitely believe when 1 John says one of the tests here, as he says, if he walks in the light, he who says he's in light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness because he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, let me continue with you a little further what this darkness looks like. What does it look like? To love or to hate. If Christ loves His church and His church is not perfect, tell me the last time that someone either in this body or in the body of believers has affected you where you are tempted to not love them. You are tempted to not love them because they've done something wrong or because you don't agree with them, right? You don't agree with them. All the Scriptures that say one another, go home and look up all the Scriptures, do a word search, one another passages. You're going to find love one another. Well, how do I love one another? You forgive one another, right? You encourage one another, right? You look out for the interest of others, right? Why do you do those? Well, because I have to do those. Because if not, I'm not a believer. No. You gravitate towards those things, don't you? Parents, I know this is easy for you. Do you love your children? Yeah, you know why you do? You're moved to love your children, right? You get moved. You work towards those children because you love those children, right? Are your children perfect? My kids, don't raise your hands, but listen, the kids are not perfect, right? It's not based upon that. And how many more opportunities do we have to show somebody in love or to bring them in that relationship, right? If a child is just way acting way out of control, as we pull that child back into control and we give them the foundation, we give them a set of rules that helps them, do they not also receive the love that comes alongside of that? That I love you and I'm doing this because I love you, and then the relationship grows and it strengthens, right? So amongst the brethren, is that not going to happen, right? Because we're not all perfect. I'm going to grow with you. I'm going to work with you. Someone comes to me and says, I can't, you know, if something happens, or I can't believe, you've heard me say this, I can't believe so-and-so did this or did that. We're going to love each other. And all you have to do, listen, this is very easy, when you're tempted to not love somebody, you think about, put yourself in the right relationship between you and the Lord. All you got to do, what does the Scripture say about taking the log out of your own eye before the speck out of somebody else, right? You know why that's been given there? Because we want to go get justice against people because we don't love people. But when we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, what have I done against you? Now I've got a log. What have I done against you, Lord? I now have a log in my eye. It's huge. I can't see. I'm pretty much, it's affecting me. I better take care of this before I'd ever go and think about trying to take care of a speck in somebody else's. Because I put myself in the right relationship. So when somebody's doing something really stupid, or they're maybe making decisions that you don't like or you don't think are good decisions, right? What does it tell us? To love one another, because we need the opportunity to act this way. I'm going to say this. I believe, I don't have my clock here, so I'm hoping I'm getting pretty close here. I believe that we, one of our characteristics, if we're going to be walking as in the Lord, one of the greatest qualities to walk as the Lord walked, to look as He looks in a sense, comes out in how we treat other people. Isn't it? That's really where we see where we have some of those characteristics that really align ourselves with the characteristics of God. And you know more about that? You know how much more evident it is in people's life when you respond to them out of love? Right? Why would the whole world know us by love? Why would that be such a testimony? Because, again, we live in a world where everybody's supposed to love everybody right now. It don't matter what you're doing. Just love, right? Everybody love each other. That's all it's all about. Just be nice and love each other. So where would it come out that the love that a Christian has looks different than the love that the world has? When we respond to people in the circumstance they're in, and we respond to them like Christ would respond to them. When we give people grace, right? When we treat somebody better than what they deserve, right? You go into a context of where somebody has not treated you well and you treat them with grace. And you just wait to see the effect of that. And then you tell them why. Just tell them why. It just blows their mind. It does. I had, you guys know, obviously being in construction, nothing goes good in construction. Just to let you know. If anybody wants to build something, let me tell you something. Just be prepared. I try my hardest. There's always problems. I had a problem sub, and he did a really terrible job, quite honestly. He really did. I fought with him. I threatened him with everything I could threaten him with. I mean, nothing wrong. I wasn't rude to him. I didn't yell at him. I never cursed him out. Nothing like that. But I'm telling you, anything I could use, I used against this guy. But I worked with him for a long time. I had another job. And I thought, am I going to let this guy bid on this job? And out of my relationship with this guy, I thought, you know what, I'm going to let it. And I was hoping it would turn to this. I said, you know what, I'm going to. And I'm going to see if I get a communication, something to communicate to him. I threw the bait. And you know what he responded with? Man, I'm really surprised you would let us bid on this work. I know you are. And I explained, you won't ever understand words that the Bible contains unless somebody puts it in a context which you can understand. And I asked him if he's ever heard of the term grace. You ever heard of grace? Better than what you deserve. Look, man, I know it went bad. I get it. We're past that. The only reason is that I want you to understand this term. That's what I want to relate to him. I'm not telling you I always do this perfectly. It's easy to pull out the easier examples. Listen, I use just as many bad ones in the back of my mind. But I'm just telling you, that somewhere the world has got to see, right? Something has to be different, right? But the church is more characteristic. We just treat each other like the world does. And I'm not saying we talk about each other. I'm not saying that. I don't think that. I'm just telling you that because of Jesus Christ for the love of the saints, we will do those things. We will love each other. We will forgive each other. We will respond to each other in love. Unless there's just not a work going on in our life. If there's not a work going on, then it's just not going to happen. And so when you read, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, I want you to know that any time we're acting outside of the way that Christ is operating towards us, you are falling in that category. You're going in that direction. If you habitually stay in that direction, then Scripture is telling you there's an issue here. It's not your personality compared to them. It's not your personality compared to their personality. We've got a little clash here, right? That doesn't work with God. Again, just look God, right? Does God have a personality clash with us? God's perfect, guys. Yeah, there's a personality clash here because God is perfect and we're not, right? Yeah, that could create some tension in most. If we were perfect and other people are not, that creates some tension. God is perfect. And He loves us. We relate to people out of love. I could probably go on all day and probably give more foundations, but the real foundation is just Christ. Let's just leave today with the foundation is Christ. Do you love people? Let me just ask you this. Do you love people? When people around you, do they think that you are loving them similar to the way that Christ loves the church? Is that what you're known for? If not, if you don't have that in your mind, we need to work on that. If we're not experiencing that here, love of the brethren, and I tell you, I hope we do. I feel that way. I don't know how it looks, but I've had people come to me with some of the worst news I've ever heard of, and me not be mad, because I thought, well, who am I? Right? I've had relationship strains because we're a group of people. And I've thought, well, I love them, don't I? They may not like what I'm doing at times, but do I love them? I love them. Why? Almost sometimes I say, I don't know why. Besides, it's Christ. And when I see Christ, you know what it does? My love just grows, right? I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sitting over here and I'm listening. I felt like this morning, guys, when I was doing, I don't know, maybe if I wasn't as ready this morning, but as I'm sitting there after we get through the section and you guys start talking, I'll tell you, I just sit back and I think, they're it. They got it. I'm sitting in a group of people that know what it means to relate to God in tough and easy times. They know the Scriptures. They know how to pull out. This is when you said, this is what so-and-so says. I love that about the Scripture, that this, and this. I just sit back and I say, this is where I want to be, right? Where else do I want to be? If I go to work tomorrow and I sit down, I go and sit down amongst unbelievers and I sit there and I want to have a conversation about God's love and all they want to do is destroy it, right? I'm like, that's not enjoyable for me. I may have a position there for the gospel, but right, it's not the same as that conversation right there, is it? I can't get that anywhere else. Where else in this world do you get that? That's not out there. If I live the rest of my life and it's just here, if we don't grow, if this is the shepherd's church, right? Is that sufficient for you? Is that relationship around the Word, not only just there, but beyond that, is that sufficient for you? Is that enough? Is there enough that you love that relationship, that it keeps you coming back from more and more of that? And are you being moved to respond to people in that relationship? Does it ever cross your mind to call somebody up and say, "Hey, brother, I'm praying for you. Hey, I'm thinking about you. Hey, this is going on." Does it ever cross your mind? Is there a love relationship that is so strong that motivates you to do something? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to try to stay away. Maybe I'm really tired this morning. This happens, doesn't it? I get tired, I start crying up here. I'm going to turn this off about right now. Have you bought into the fact that everybody's just too busy? Just too busy. Do you think I'm too busy? Sometimes I am busy. But I'm going to tell you something. You call me up and you're ready to come do something. I said a couple weeks ago, "Hey, look, anybody want to have some fish?" Paul, you know what? Paul called me. I'm not trying to call you all out about it, but I'm just telling you how this works. Paul called me up like a couple days, not even a couple days later. "Hey, you want to have some fish?" He was ready. "Let's eat, brother." I said, "All right, Friday night, come on over. We're going to cook some fish." It's just the way it happens, guys. If you ever hear that I'm telling you I ain't got time for you, I'm just telling you. My heart is there, and I think your heart is there. I'm not telling you it doesn't happen this way. Listen, Tim, when you guys talk the announcement about tea, it's like there's an announcement that something is about to go on Tuesday night. It's about one of the greatest things I can think of is about to happen on Tuesday night. We got it, and sometimes I'm like, "Hey, guys, you better get your women there because this is a great opportunity for fellowship." It's happening. I'm not talking like it doesn't happen, and I'm just telling you that the reason it happens is not just because I always look out to you guys and I just found some people that just finally fit the mold who I want to hang out with. Okay? Y'all are all different, right? And it's different wherever you go. Listen, you're not going to go over to the Frazier's house and have a quiet meal together. I'm just letting you know that. That's not going to happen. We're different, right? Is that funny, buddy? It's just not, right? It's different. But are we gravitating towards loving each other? Are we responding to people? And when we hear things about what's going on, do we think, what is God doing in their life? Guys, I don't know if we're silent on this. I think it happens. But is it to the degree that the Scripture's talking about, right? Is it to that degree? Are we like Paul, who says, "I love with you with the affections of Jesus Christ"? Man, because I don't know if I'm there. I would hope to be. But do I love you with the affections of Christ? When you're boneheaded. When you're sinning. When you're not here. When something else seems to be more of a priority. When you actually, I could be mad at you for, you're robbing part of my joy. I don't know if you know that. You're robbing part of my joy when you're not here. "Miss Dale, I'm going to pick on you because I can. You go see your family." I love that you love your family. But when you're not here, I'm kind of a little upset with you on that regards, right? Oh, my goodness. I have to pray for you. Why do you hate me, Miss Dale? And I know that. And if it was about a set of rules, I would say, "Hey, look." But you know, every single time, I'm like, "That's right where you need to be." She's pouring into her family. "Well, Miss Dale, I don't know if I call you enough and tell you that I think you're doing one of the greatest works. I don't know if I do that well enough." It's, do we love each other that goes beyond the rules, right? I'm just telling you, it's, you can't produce that, can you? Jesus Christ does that. And if somebody doesn't happen, it's going to stand out just as strong as it can be. It's just going to be evident, guys. You don't have to keep working with them to try to make them love the brethren. Scripture says it's not going on in the heart. Right? So we need to live in the context of love. And we need to live there because Christ loves the glory of His Father. And we need to get so serious about the glory of God that we gravitate to the things that bring that out. And listen, I just go on and on. Let us pray. Father, collectively we're going to come to you. Let this be our prayer. Let this be my prayer. I pray by Your Spirit that Your the same Spirit that is in every single one of us. It's not a different Spirit. The same Spirit that is within us, I pray, is turning to You right now. Is looking unto You and acknowledging that You loved us and that You loved Your own glory. That we are so satisfied that You are self-serving, God, in a good way. That our spirit says unto us, we must gravitate towards that. We must be involved with that. And that same spirit looks into the souls of other people and says, I love them. I love them. That we are collectively being joined together like a reunion and saying, we love You. Therefore, we love each other. Will we stop thinking that the world has anything to offer us that is better than the fellowship that is in here? It's not about attendance. Father, it's not about rules. It's about serving You who we love. Pulls us together to serve each other. What would You do if this church, Father, what work could You do in 1 week? What could You do in this body of believers if we would be conscious about where You're working in people's lives this week and start responding to them in love and start edifying them or start holding them up in prayer, whatever it is? What could You do? How many lessons could be taught to us? How much, and not only to us, how much praise could come up to You in this 1 week? How many things could You be glorified in this 1 week we have before we return? I don't know. But Father, because I'm Your own and because we are, we're going to just pray that we are observant of that. So forgive us where we're not, and Father, turn us into each other this week. In Your name, amen. Amen. Guys, we're going to sing. We're going to sing 425. I want you guys to all come down front. Just come right down front.